Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Mets Musings. I hope everybody had a great week out there. Better week than Buck Showalter. Buck Showalter will not be returning as Mets manager next season. That's it. Buck is out, the Mets announced, before Sunday's final game with the Philadelphia Phillies, final game of the season, that Buck was going to be replaced. Buck did manage that game, got a standing ovation as he brought out the lineup card. His entire team came out of the dugout, stood on the field, and gave him an ovation. The stadium gave him ovation. It was a very nice moment. But Buck Showalter is going to be out as Mets manager. And look, it's easy to say that, he didn't do a great job this year, but it wasn't Buck's fault. Let's be honest about this. They had the injuries. They had the offense struggled. I mean, it wasn't all on him. The bullpen was terrible. It was a combination of errors that really came to a head in June, and June really was the month that killed their entire season. And then, of course, the training deadline, and there was a letdown after that. But the last month or so, they didn't play great, but they played better, and they had some fight to them, at least, and they were spunky. And I think they have to capture part of that and build on it and bring in some players where they need to. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But it wasn't Buck's fault. Let's be honest. He did what he could with what he had. And, you can understand it. The Mets talked about it afterwards and said that they're going in a new direction after the game. Steve Cohen met with the press, said they're going in a different direction, and the usual yada, yada, yada stuff. But Monday there was a big press conference, and they announced that David Stern was coming on as the president of baseball operations. So David's in and Buck is out. It's another reason you want him to start fresh. You want him perhaps to bring in his own man. It's a good move by the Mets bringing in David Stern because they needed somebody to be in charge there, to take charge. He's still a fairly young man. He built a good organization in Milwaukee. They have become contenders every year, and they have a good farm system set up. He had a lot to do with that. So, it's a good move on the Mets' part, getting him. They coveted him for the last few years, and now his contract is up, and he was able to change teams, and here he is back home in New York with the Mets. So we'll see the impact that he is going to have on this team, over this winter. So we'll see. He's got a laundry list probably of things he has to get done. First of all will be the manager's job. Now, there have been names bandied about in the press that the usual suspects, I guess you might say. Who are they? Carlos Beltran's name has come up again. As you recall, he was hired by the Mets as a manager and let go rather quickly due to the Houston scandal. That news broke and he was out. It was a few years ago now. It's got to be, 4 or 5 years, so the dust is cleared. He could be brought back into the mix. Joe McEwing, a former Met, who has been talked about before and has aspirations to manage. Bob Melvin with San Diego. It's not a good situation out there. They have struggled, even though they've spent a lot of money and tied up a lot of players. It has not worked out for them. So Bob Melvin could be a possibility. Eduardo Perez's name has come up again. Joe Espada. And the odds on Ron Washington from Atlanta. But the odds on favorite is, of course, Craig Counsell, who was with David Stern in Milwaukee. And could be his guy. His contract is up. He has not signed a new contract. He could either sign with Milwaukee, he could come to New York if he wants a challenge. He could take a year off. He has suggested at that as well to watch his kids play ball in college. But the rumors are still that he may come and join David Stern here in New York. That we will have to wait and see definitely. Because a few of the guys who the Mets have on their list or who speculated to be on their list, they're in the playoffs. Milwaukee, Atlanta, Houston. So they cannot, they may not be able to talk to some of these guys until after they get eliminated or the playoffs are over, depending upon who it is and who they want to talk to. But I'm sure they're working hard at compiling a list and talking to whoever they can talk to, getting the bid, getting them interviewed and all set up and go from there. But Buck is out and David Stern is in as the new era of the Mets, I guess, begins again. Another new era starting up once again for the Metsies. But it makes a lot of sense. If you bring in a new baseball guy, president of baseball operations, it makes sense to let him have the manager, to hire the manager, somebody he feels confident with. Usually in these situations, you might see the general manager or the guy may come in, be the president and general manager. The Mets are separating the two. And usually you see he may bring in his own general manager, but he knows Epler, he's worked with him, so I don't think there's going to be a problem there. Everybody seems to be on the same page as well. They both want to build a farm system. He did it in Milwaukee, David Stern did. And this is what their direction is. It'll be interesting to see whether he does what he does with a bigger budget. He's never had that kind of budget before. So we'll have to see how that affects his decision-making. But they do want to cut back as well. So it's all speculative at this point as he takes over. And it's only been 3 days or 2 days, so we'll see how it all shakes out. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll discuss a little bit of what the Mets need to do. We've done it the last few episodes, but I think it's interesting because it does change from time to time. So we'll look at it again. I'm sure we'll talk about it again in the future ad nauseum until things start to shake out and get loose. But take a listen to these messages, and I'll be here when they're done.
Baseball and BBQ, your place for interesting baseball talk, opinions, and history. Baseball and BBQ, your place for barbecue recipes, tips, and interviews from the world of barbecue. If you like baseball and if you like barbecue, then tune in to Baseball and BBQ. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and BaseballTalkRadio.com.
Did you know that Baseball PhD can be heard on BaseballTalkRadio.com?
Our shows rotate with other top baseball podcasts.
Now don't forget, that's BaseballTalkRadio.com.
With us, we'll help you get a PhD in life through baseball.
With BaseballTalkRadio.com, you'll hear the rest of the excellent universe of baseball podcasts.
Hello, baseball fans. You're listening to Baseball Talk Radio, the home of great baseball talk shows. At BaseballTalkRadio.com, you're going to find great shows like this one with the great Gary Mack and the Mets Musings podcast. And now back to the show.
All right, we're back. And just some quick notes here. Last week's show, we mentioned about Brandon Nimmo undergoing an MRI in his right shoulder. He had it done. It revealed no rotator cuff damage. The team says they will keep an eye on it, however, during the winter, but they fully expect Nimmo to be ready to go in spring training. In fact, if the team were in a playoff race, Nimmo would not have been placed on the IL. So that's good news, and they'll keep an eye on it and see what happens. And Mets did a great thing. They honored before Saturday's doubleheader. Friday night got rained out, of course, with the heavy rainstorm. The Mets honored the career of former second baseman Daniel Murphy. In addition to the video tribute of his eight-year career in New York, Murphy threw out the first pitch to his oldest son, Noah. Terrific honoree, a great guy, and it was very nice of the Mets to honor him in that way and allow his son especially to be there. It's really terrific. He officially announced his retirement from baseball. You remember he retired like 2 years ago, came back, played for the Long Island Ducks out here in the Atlantic League, got signed by the Angels to a minor league contract, did not make it back to the majors, but still, he can still hit. And, you know, he may make a good hitting coach someday if he decides he wants to get into coaching. And the Mets should be right on that bandwagon there, trying to get a guy, bring him back in spring training, let him work with some of the hitters and stuff. That's the way you do it. You bring back some of the old guys and something like 38. He's not an old guy, but I mean a retired player that knows the organization and knows the city and, you know, can work with the players. Has a history with the 2015 team. They wouldn't have been where they were without him that year, that's for sure. And, you know, he'd be good to work with the young guys. So that's a bit of the Mets tidbits and news that's been showing up. What do the Mets need to do? Well, of course, we all know they need to do the starting pitching rotation. So far, the only ones that they have, I would say in stone, if you will, is Kodai Senga and Jose Quintana. After that, it's kind of a crapshoot. I mean, we've had some good performances. Joey Lucchese was terrific down the stretch. His last few starts in the towards the end of the season were very, very good. When he got recalled from the minors, he looked really good and really sharp. David Peterson looked really good in spots, had a couple of rough spots. He's really a tough guy to figure, though. I mean, he'll pitch eight innings of shutout ball or six innings of shutout ball. But you look and he'll have runners on base all the time, but he seems he was getting out of trouble a lot this year. He's got to cut down that and cut down the walks. But other than that, he pitched very well. Tyler McGill, the end of the year, looked great. His last game, eight shutout innings or something he pitched, looked pretty fantastic to me. So he's got to get a mention. But they're going to need more than just five guys, as we've learned these last few years. You go through 7, 8, 9, 10 starting pitchers sometime. Jose Budo looked good at the end of the year, too. Had some terrific games. So those are other options. There is talk about bringing this kid Yamamoto from Japan. Kodai Senga could help them talk this guy into coming to the Mets, if they're willing to spend the money, of course. And, of course, there's always Shohei Ohtani, but he's not going to help your pitching next year. Let's keep that in mind. He has Tommy John surgery and will not pitch next year at all. He will be ready to be a designated hitter. Now, my question is, does that affect the big salary everybody was talking about? They were talking about this huge contract. But now, how is that going to be affected? Because, to me, the huge contract was for a pitcher-designated hitter. Now you're just going to get a designated hitter for a year, and you don't know whether he'll be able to pitch again. You don't know. This is a second Tommy John surgery. You don't know if he's going to have the same kind of stuff when he comes back. The ball may not break as well. He may not have the same velocity. So, in essence, does that lower the contract for him? Or, you know, or are you people going to gamble that he's going to come back and you'll pay him the astronomical contract that everybody thought he was going to get? It's an interesting situation. It's going to be a tough decision for any team that gets involved with it, including the Mets. If they decide they want to get in the Ohtani sweepstakes, then that is something that they're going to have to come to grips with and decide. Personally, I think he may be better off, and it may happen that he takes a 1 year contract for less money and then goes the free agent route the following year if he can show he can pitch a little bit and his value should stay the same. But he did play outfield a little bit, so there is that option as well. If he can't pitch, he can always move to the outfield and play every day, but then will he be as good a hitter if he's playing in the field every day as well? So there's a lot of things to consider. It's not cut and dry at this point, and it's really the arm injury that threw this into a dither. I think it was clear before what people were going to get, and they were willing to pay the big money. Now I would think with the arm operation, it changes the picture a little bit on Shohei. So we'll see how that works out as we go along. They could use another bat in the outfield or even the infield, but I think the infield's pretty well set. And the outfield could be well set as well, but there's some things you could move around. There's question marks. We don't know what you're going to get out of Marte. We don't know if he's shot. We don't know if these groin problems are going to really saddle him again next year. Or is he going to be the Starling Marte of 2022? We just don't know. Let's go back to San Diego and talk about their situation. There has been a rumor. Jeff Passan put it out that it would be a scary idea if the Mets traded for Juan Soto and brought him in here. Is there a possibility they do match up better now? Being they made the acquisitions in the minor league and improved the minor league so much to the point now that do match up with a lot of teams to bring in talent once Soto's 24. But he's a free agent after next year. So would you give up talent, young talent, to bring him in? And, boy, you better sign him then. You better sign him long term. So that's a possibility. How about a crazy trade? Alonso and Soto, one up. How's that? San Diego needs a first baseman. Alonso fills the bill. We could use a right fielder. Soto would fill that bill. What does that mean for the Mets infield? Well, you could always, if you have an outfielder like Soto out there, that pushes McNeil back to second. It moves Maurizio maybe to third. And you platoon Beatty and Vientos at first. And see what you get out of that. You're only losing about 12 home runs at that point with Alonso gone. And I'm sure you can make that up between Vientos and Beatty easy. So, you know, that's something to consider. Look, it's not going to happen. Don't worry. It's just something I'm throwing out there that maybe they'll consider. And, I mean, San Diego's got to approve of that deal, too. They may not want to take it, but they're both free agents after that next season. So, will they get more value out of Alonso next year or not? Well, it's all, you know, it's just me talking. So, that's pretty much all the news that's out there right now. One sad note, and we'll end on this. Joe Christopher, an outfielder from the 1962 expansion New York Mets, died Tuesday in Edgewood, Maryland. He was 87 years old. Came up with Pittsburgh in 1958 and appeared in three games in the 1960 World Series against the New York Yankees. He was selected by the Mets with their fifth pick in the 1962 expansion draft. Spent four seasons with the Mets and was traded to Boston. Spent a final season with the Red Sox in 1966. He had a .260 batting average career-wise, 29 homers and 173 RBIs. His death leaves only 10 living members of the 62 Mets. Craig Anderson, Galen Sisko, Cliff Cook, John Demerit, Rick Hersher, Jay Hook, Ed Cranepool, Ken McKenzie, Felix Mantilla, and Jim Marshall. So only two left of the 62 Mets. Boy. It's 61 years ago now, so they were young men then, and now they're had a long life, and well, that's it. Let's just leave it at our sympathies go out to the Christopher family. May he rest in peace. One of those living members of the 62 Mets we spoke to a couple of weeks ago, Ed Cranepool, was on this very show. You can catch that if you missed it. He was talking about his new book that's out. Go check it out. It's a terrific book. Ed Cranepool and Gary Kaschek, his co-author, who was on a couple of weeks ago as well. So you can go check out that interview as well. And that's going to wrap it up for this week's show. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you'll join me whenever a show comes out. You know, now with the postseason, it's going to be tough. May not get a lot of Mets news, so don't know. The show might go on an irregular schedule. We try to do it weekly, but with We'll see what happens. Let's just look at that. And for that reason, if you're watching on YouTube, you should hit the like button and subscribe button, as well as if you're listening to the audio, please do the same. That way you'll always know when a new edition of Mets Musings is coming out. And join our Facebook page, Mets Musings. We advertise there as well when a new episode comes out. So go check them out. Our Twitter feed as well. And I'm on Instagram. It'll all be down below if you need to know where to look. Or at Mets, just go to MetsMusings.com. Everything's on there that you need to know, including where to go if you'd like to support the show and donate to the show. So keep us going so we keep these fancy backgrounds and things going. And until next time, remember to keep the faith, stay optimistic, and let's go Mets. And I'm Gary Mack, and I'll see you next time on another edition of Mets Musings.